The Aubrey Masano Show on 702.
Let's walk the talk. Streaming countrywide on the 702 app.
Brandon Garbutt is MD at Capital City, joins me now. Capital Legacy joins me now on the line. Brandon, thank you so much for joining me, and apologies for saying Capital City. I don't know why I called it Capital City. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
No, thanks a lot, Aubrey. Really appreciate the time to be on the show. And hopefully we can give some better news than the Zama one.
Man, it's scary, hey, Brandon. It really, really is scary. And I worry about the principle of saying maybe we should legalize the operations because we can't control them. I think that's a fundamental error in logic, and it has some real world problems, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's not no expert in the topic, but just reading what's obviously happened in the last month or two, and just hearing you there, I don't think legalizing it because you can't control it is the answer. You say, there could be a position in it in society and the economy, but you've got to get under control first before you start legalization.
Absolutely. Yeah. And much of what we are going to be talking about is connected to death. Right, Brandon. I mean, people get their wills sorted out, wills organized. They need to find a professional to help them because there's the reality of death in life, right?
100%.
It's a bit of a morbid conversation, and I think that's why a lot of people are afraid to have it, because of the inevitability of this thing called death, and of course making sure that your matters are in order. Tell me how we even start. How do we even approach this subject? Because nobody wants to face the possibility of death.
Well, you know, Aubrey, I get asked all the time, and as you say, I mean, it's everyone always asks me what I do, and I explain what we do, and they're like, you can just sort of see their faces straight away going, well, that's not the most exotic thing in the world.
pass the drinks. Let him move on.
Not the favorite guy at the bra, you know. we started the business 10 years ago, and it was actually from a situation where we actually saw the actual problems when people do pass away without an up-to-date and valid will. Yeah. And our mission over the last 10 years is actually to not just make sure that people actually have a will in place, which you're going to discuss just now, but the consequences of if you don't and what actually happens to the people you leave behind.
Yeah.
And a will doesn't have to be a thing where you're thinking about death. You know, it's you're actually just making sure that when the inevitable happens, the people who are actually still alive are taken care of the way that you would want them to be taken care of. It doesn't have to be looked at as like a bad thing or a scary thing. I always say to people, all good financial planning starts with a will. And the reason I always say that is because no one ever lies in a will. So you kind of, from a financial planner point of view, you kind of always get the most information. And that's where all financial planning should start. What does a person want when they actually pass away? Or what do they want to actually see for their beneficiaries? How do they want their children, if they've got children, to grow? How do they want their spouses to be looked after when they're not there? And it's reality. I think COVID kind of brought it to the fore, because South Africans, I've always said whenever I've done talks or shows and things, I always say South Africa has got this amazing Superman complex. You know, it's like never going to happen to me because of all what we've been through, and we're just so damn resilient that we think we can kind of get through anything. And I think COVID taught us that we're not Superman. And it is one of those things that you actually have to put in place. You know, you don't wake up in the morning and go, oh, I must get my will done. And that's why places like Capital Legacy and what we do is really important, because we need to educate people that you actually have to do it, and now is the right time to do it.
Brandon, I mean, I think, and I was having this conversation yesterday with the listeners about COVID and what COVID has revealed to us, the various vulnerabilities and weaknesses and challenges in us as human beings, our institutions, and all of the ideas that we've harbored about how well we are doing in terms of just everything we think we're doing well in, right? My question, though, is, don't you get the question from many people, particularly after the economic challenges that have been posed by COVID, people losing their jobs, companies closing down, that, you know, the idea of having a will written is the work, or is a pastime of the rich. If I'm going to have a will written, it's because I've got something. I've got some assets. Well, let me tell you something, Orbs and Brandon. I got nothing. And you guys are here telling me about having to put together a will. Why are we even having this conversation in the context where people have lost their jobs, where people are dying because they're sick and ill? Why are we even having this conversation, somebody might ask? Brandon?
Yeah, so it's a question we get asked all the time. We actually have a survey that we did actually over Wills Month last year in 2021, and we're actually saying, what are some main reasons of why people don't actually have a will in place?
Yeah.
And what came out number one was procrastination. As I said, people don't wake up in the morning and go, oh, I must get my will done. So, that was a big one. Of just educating people to say it takes an hour out of your day or out of your life. You need to actually get the will done. The second one was, going back to your point, was, but I don't have much. Is a will not for the wealthy? And that's a sort of a stigma that we've got to get past, that a will's not just about assets and about money. It's actually how you want to see your beneficiaries or your heirs or your loved ones looked after when you pass. So, for instance, it's how you name the guardians to look after your children. What actually happens to your kids when you pass? You know, it's things like that, that it's not tangible, it's not assets, but it's actually how you want to see the future. And that is actually the first and foremost thing of all, instead of actually, where's the money going? You know, people always think the world's about the money. But it's actually not. It's actually how you actually want to see the future and people that you're leaving behind look after. And I always use the example of with learners, who's going to look after them? Where do they need to stay? Who's the person you actually trust to look after them?
Yeah.
You know, it's those kind of things. If you don't have a will, someone else is going to have to make that decision for you.
Sure. Listen, I can relate to that. I had COVID last year, and I had Delta COVID. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I was in hospital for about 2 weeks. My wife and I had it at the same time. We have young children. Right.
Mm.
And we raise our children ourselves. We don't even have a nanny. We do this thing ourselves. And that was the one thing that shook me to the core. What happens to my kids? I mean, I got prepubescent children, right?
Mm.
And what happens to my kids? Because, yeah, I probably fall into the category of those people that don't have much.
but was that a dig out to your boss?
Yeah, and I hope they're listening right now. You know, but that was the big, big issue. But I'm also privy, Brandon, to many cases in my family. And I know that many of the listeners that are listening now have family members where perhaps the old man or the old woman in the family, the matriarch or the patriarch dies, and the family house is left to somebody. And then there's a huge fight. I mean, there's a huge fight amongst the children. And those would be people that would say, listen, but I don't have anything. So why would I need a will? So it appears to me that what we may consider nothing may still be a cause of dispute at the point of somebody dying if we haven't gotten it written down somewhere, right?
100%. So, I mean, there's sort of two different questions there. I mean, if we actually look at it from a minor point of view, okay, so in other words, if your children are under the age of 18, okay, so people often say to people, no matter if you are, have you got a lot of assets or you've got a little bit of assets, you're going to leave a child or your heirs, you know, sort of for starting. So we say to people, where do you want the money that you have, whether it's a lot or it's little, and always go, my children. It always goes, my spouse, failing my spouse to my children. So we always say, okay, great. But now if you draw up a will and you actually say that, so if you actually have a will in place and you say, I want the money to go to my kids, children under the age of 18 actually cannot actually inherit money or assets. So that actually has to go to the guardian or whoever's looking after the child if you actually have a will. And now, or you might actually have someone who you trust as a guardian, but you don't trust them financially.
Mm.
And that can obviously, and I mean, I can talk for hours about the horror stories we've seen. We wind up in states where money's been left to these children, and within 2-3 years it's depleted because either the guardians were negligent or they just weren't financially savvy, or they basically just really stole the money for themselves. And that is not what you would have had, what you would have intended to do.
Yeah.
So generally when we have minors and we actually have a will, we set up what we call a testamentary trust. And that trust has a have trustees that look after the trust, that actually manage the funds for the minors to ensure that that money lasts for a certain amount of time, hopefully till they actually pass the age of 18, that you know they can kind of live a similar sort of life as what they had when you were around. That's one of the instances. The other instance is, unfortunately, if you didn't tell that point why it's important and you've got minor children. So if, for instance, Aubrey, if you didn't have a will and you passed away, yourself and your wife, and you had someone to look after your kids, and you didn't have a will, all your money and your assets would actually go to the Government Guardian Fund. Now, the Government Guardians Fund is obviously a fund set up by the government. Whoever the guardian is of the kids needs to apply to the Government Guardians Fund to actually get those assets on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, not the easiest in the world to do. And it's just obviously extremely cumbersome. And obviously then, if they're extracting the assets as the guardian from the Government Guardians Fund, they are in control. As I said before, you know, that's not what you would have intended because maybe they're not financially savvy. And that would actually have to happen if you didn't have the will.
Brandon, sorry if I can ask you to just move around a little bit. I'm losing you.
Sorry.
You were saying?
Yeah. So that's why we big advocates on ensuring that you not just do a will, but you actually discuss with us what your intentions are.
Yeah.
And in this case, you want the money to go to your children. Great, your children are minors. Let's open up a testamentary trust when you pass away and let the assets flow into that. And you know your kids will be looked after. And the guardian isn't the one who's reliant on making financial decisions.
Yeah. I want to take some calls on 011-883-0702. Any questions that you might have to Brandon Garbutt? He's MD at Capital Legacy. These people write wills for a living. And perhaps any questions that you might have about the legality of the will that you have or the process that you need to follow in order to have a valid will. You've just said something quite startling there, Brandon, that a minor, somebody under the age of 18, may not inherit assets or money. Just is that legislation? Is that the law?
Yeah. So, I mean, I always use this example of when you went to the bank, when you were a minor, who was standing next to you when you opened the bank account?
It was either
your parents or a guardian. It's exactly the same thing. Is you can't directly inherit those assets. It actually has to either come through a trust where you're the beneficiary of the trust, or will actually have to come through via the guardian who has been placed in guardianship of the actual minor or the child.
Hmm. Give us a call, 011-883-0702. Lots of people have asked questions about, you know, under which conditions is a written document that spells out, that sets out my desires, my wishes, should I die, in fact, a will? Because I imagine that there are certain basic or minimum criteria that make a will a will. In other words, I can't take, you know, my cigarette box and say everything to my children and put my thumbnail on, I mean, my thumbprint on. There's a specific, I imagine, process, and there are certain minimum criteria that make a will a will. Could you talk to us about that, Brandon?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about, there's quite a few things to make a will compliant and valid. You know, the first of all, a person must be over the age of 16 for a will to be drafted. The will must be signed. I know it sounds very archaic, and I get this question all the time, but the will actually has to be signed in wet ink.
So in what? How old must the person be minimum, and in what?
So what we're saying now is everyone always asks, we live in a digital age, and everyone says, you know, can we just sign it digitally? And unfortunately, the South African legislation, which ironically is very much the same as the British legislation, is it actually has to be signed with wet ink. In other words, it has to be a proper signature. Mm. So digital signatures are allowed.
Wow.
So everyone keeps saying, oh, can I sign it digitally? Unfortunately, not. It actually has to be a proper signature. Another thing to actually make the will sort of valid is it must be signed by, obviously, the testator. In other words, the male, if you're a male, we call it testator. If you're a female, testatrix. It needs to be actually signed on every page as well as at the end to obviously make it valid. You need two witnesses, and I'm going to explain about the two witnesses why it's very important. These two witnesses, some characteristics around these two witnesses is they have to be of 14 years and older. They have to be of sound body and mind and mentally capable of know what they're actually signing. And this is the big one that really catches out a lot of people, is they actually cannot be named people within the will. In other words, they cannot be a beneficiary within the will. So many times you get people who, you know, they've quickly drawn up a will, and they'll get someone in the household, whether it's the brother, the sister, the son, the daughter, to actually sign as witness. And it actually makes the will invalid. So to all the listeners out there, if you are going to, well, when you draw up your will and you are getting people to witness it, make sure that they are not actually named in the will. Make sure that no one is actually signing the will is in there. Not even kids, well, I've said kids, but not your executor or your trustee or anyone along those lines that's actually been named in the will.
Sure.
A scary stat, Aubrey, is, I mean, we've done over 500,000 wills over the last 10 years. And from an industry point of view, as much education as we've done and as the Law Society do a really good job during Wills Week and things like that, the stat shows that only 40% of the wills that are drafted are actually signed and valid and correct, which is really, really scary. So one of the things that we do whenever we get the will is we actually educate them, not just on what, but actually how to sign it and get it back to us, you know, and keep it in custody.
Yeah. Again, Brandon, I need you to move around a little bit. You keep breaking up a little bit. I'm not really sure what the reason is there. So I'm losing quite a lot of very, very valuable information. But while you get sorted out there, Karen in Kempton Park writes, "Dying without a valid will is devastating for the ones left behind," she says. "It often happens that in order to settle the estate, the family home has to be sold. All those treasured memories of their lost family member says Karen in Kempton Park. And somebody else says, if you make a will leaving everything to your spouse and then you divorce and then years later you die without having revoked that will, your ex-spouse will get your assets even if you have remarried. Would that be true, Brandon?"
So let me go to the first one. I don't know if you can hear me better.
Yeah,
sure.
I'm still
a bit of load shedding. So let me talk on the first question with regards to having to sell the property. So one of the scary things that people actually don't realize or don't actually know is when you actually pass away, there's certain costs that obviously you incur when an estate needs to be wound up. So that is, I mean, I'm sure the listeners and yourself have heard of a thing called executor fees.
Yes.
So that is the fee that an executor charges so that they can obviously wind up the estate. And they can charge anything up to 3.5%, excluding VAT, of the total estate value of the estate. Now, 3.5% doesn't sound a lot, but when you put it in rand terms, it can be quite expensive.
Mm.
Now, your family and your beneficiaries are actually left with that amount to actually pay the executor. I mean, they're doing a job. You've got to pay the executor. And that's where you often hear these scary stories where because there's creditors come out the woodwork, there's executor fees to pay, that people have to end up selling their house. Now, a capital legacy, that is ultimately the last resort that we ever go to when it comes to obviously winding up an estate and having to settle creditors and things like that.
Yeah.
We rather try and see if we can help the beneficiaries bond the house or get a loan or something. But the reality is some executors do actually force the people to downscale, sell the property because you've got to pay for these creditors and these costs. So it's a very scary situation that.
I want to take some calls. 011-883-0702. Have you put down a valid will? September is Wills Month, by the way. And my guest is Brandon Garbutt. He's MD at Capital Legacy. Just to give us some tips as to what do we need to do to have a valid will. And there are some scary stories, folks, around what happens if we perish, if we die and we haven't put together a valid will. And you'll hear some of them as we take more calls. But please give us a call and let us know. And, of course, your SMS is on 31702. Your texts on 072-702-1702. My apologies. The number there is 072-702-1702. It goes straight back, straight to the lines. Ronald is in Pretoria. Hi, Ronald.
Yes, hello. I'm a recipient of my wife's will. She died last year from COVID. She had comorbidities. We tried for a whole year to keep her out of the harm's way of ever since we heard about the start of this COVID starting towards the end of 2019. From that point, we battled the whole of 2020 and eventually 30th of June last year, it caught up with her and it took her. Obviously, I'm grateful for what she did for me. Being blind myself, she also had a disability. She had a back disability. It wasn't the plan. It wasn't what we would have wanted, any of us, obviously. Most of all her, because she had a real, you know, zest for life and she just, you know, wanted to live life. But I realize now that if she hadn't done what she did, to how much of a problem I would have now, I probably would have ended up in some institution for disability people and that sort of thing. I'm eternally grateful for her. For the measures that she took to make sure that I was looked after Dorbury.
And everything went smoothly, Ronald. By the way, I'm very sorry to hear about your wife's passing, but did everything go smoothly after her passing? And would you say that that is attributable to the fact that you guys had a valid will?
Yes, I would say that.
Yeah.
I would say that. Obviously, you've got to let the thing take its course. Depending on the extent of what your estate is, that will determine how long it'll take or not before the estate gets wound up. But, yeah, I mean, in my case, it was probably a year or two over. I've only started getting...
Yeah.
Started getting mine it's about the second or the third month now. Since last year, but it's absolutely essential that one does this. And one of the first things I did, Audrey, once I was aware of what her will was, I went and I made a will myself.
Yes.
As to what happens when I go.
Yeah.
So that whatever might be left from her assets that she gave to me would, you know, be dealt with appropriately.
Ronald, thanks very much for your call. And once again, commiserations for the passing of your wife. Langa is in Durban. Hi, Langa.
Hey, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, thanks, Langa. Tell me what is on your mind, sir.
Hey, you know, like I'm having these anxieties. I have six boys.
Yeah.
My kids. Yes, I'm young. I don't really have a lot of assets. Actually, I don't have assets at all. But you know what has really kept me up at night is I need them to be taken care of.
Yeah.
The very same way I'm taking care of them right now when I'm no more. In total, which, you know, like sometimes when I'm sleeping, in Patarang, because of obviously, I'm the one that understands my situation.
Yes.
And what would happen to them if I were to pass on? So, like, how do I then ensure it's a thing which when I'm no more, at least I know that my kids would be taken care of.
Yeah.
The very same way that I'm taking care of them.
Yeah. And really, I imagine your question is, what mechanisms are there, not only in the writing of the will, but of making sure that the standard of living that you've gotten your children accustomed to is maintained, yeah?
Oh, thank you.
All right. Langa, let's hear what Brandon has to say. Brandon, you've heard Ronald's call. You've heard Langa's call. Langa, a young man himself, doesn't have many assets, but is concerned about how, technically, do you make sure that his kids have the kind of lifestyle that he would have gotten them accustomed to over and above the writing of the will. But I imagine all of those things work in tandem, yeah?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if I can actually just go back to the original call, Ronald, I mean, it's really sad to hear what happened in terms of the passing. But on a positive side, it's really good to see how, you know, putting the will in place has actually really helped them. You know, you're in a bad place when your loved one passes away. The last thing you need is education. So it's really nice story from his side. In terms of from Langa's side, okay, everyone always says, I mean, let's go back to my original statement earlier. You know, someone says, isn't a will for the ultra wealthy? And I always say that all good financial planning starts with a will. So what I'd suggest in terms of Langa's situation is he draws up a will now. Even if he's got a little bit, he's got a lot, I'm sure he's got, even if it's one or two assets or heirlooms or anything along those lines, he needs to obviously put that in a will. Secondly, he obviously needs to nominate who he actually would like to look after any of the children that he actually has, you know, who will be the guardian. And that is paramount that he actually nominates that in the will. And then, as I said, a will is the start of all good financial planning. He'll need to see a financial planner and say, if I should pass, this is the kind of lifestyle that I'd like my kids to actually live.
Yeah.
And you need to take out life cover to actually fulfill that. And what happens is you actually make sure that when you do your life cover, it actually mirrors what your will actually says.
Yeah.
So that if you want the actual life cover to actually pay and look after the kids, you want it to pay into the estate, and you set up a testamentary trust for the actual minors, that money will go into the trust and will actually pay for the kids that Langa can actually provide the future that he actually intended for them. And that's why you kind of got to do it hand in hand whenever you're doing a financial plan.
Okay. And you know, lots of people asking questions about the possibility of multiple wills. So, for example, Chris says, what happens if there are multiple wills and the most recent will had the intention to be signed but never got completed, even when drafted under the watchful eye of your attorney?
So, I mean, it can be complicated, but the simple answer is the last will that has been signed and is valid, that is the will that is actually used. So if you've done a will but you actually haven't got it signed, that actually is not valid. It would actually have to be the last one that actually was signed and valid. Many people have gone to the High Court to obviously challenge that, because they've actually got, for instance, Chris's example, his attorney was witness, and then the court will make a decision. But I can tell you now, the law says that it actually has to go to the will that was signed and valid.
Yeah, I can imagine the fight that ensues as a result of that kind of thing. Let's go straight to the lines. Anonymous is in Johannesburg. Hi, Anonymous. Hello, Anonymous. Anonymous, are you there? Yeah, there you go. Go for it, Anonymous.
I just wanted to add a question for Brandon. I have a friend of mine that passed away recently, and he didn't have a formal will. However, he did turn to a friend of his, and he said he wanted to leave everything to his brother. He obviously has no dependents. He was quite young, so he never drew up a will of his own.
Yeah.
What would be the outcome of this informal will if you...
Sure. Makes a lot of sense. Brandon?
So in South Africa, we have a law called the Law of Interstate Succession, and that's actually a stipulated law that's laid down that if you pass away and there's no will in place, you've passed away what you call interstate, And there's actually, if I can call it like a decision tree of how your assets need to be distributed. So it actually would go directly down, in this case, down to the parents. And then passing on from the parents, if there were no parents, then it would go down to any siblings. So in this case, the brother. But it would actually have to pass through the parents first. If the parents didn't want to actually take the assets and they wanted it to go to the brother, they'd actually have to renounce themselves from receiving the assets, and then it could go to the brother. But if they pass away interstate, it can't go directly to the brother, even if that was his intention, without a valid will in
place. So there's got to be a will in place. It's got to be a valid will in place, right? All right, yeah. Gavin is in Johannesburg. Hi, Gavin.
Hello, Aubrey. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Gavin, go ahead.
My gran, she passed away on the 24th on Heritage Day, will be a year ago. And the problem that we've got is that originally she drew up a will that I knew about that was held with the bank. But it's come to light that there was a second will that evidently she did with my uncle, of which we have a copy of. And now we don't want to sign, we don't want to sell the house, but he's living in Australia and he keeps on demanding that he wants his share.
Yeah.
And he says to me, if we find, because also one thing I need to also tell Brandon is that the executor has stepped down as an executor because he doesn't do estates anymore. And my uncle wants his money, and we don't particularly want to sell the house.
Yeah, yeah.
My mom is the other heir.
Yeah, yeah. So you may have to buy him out. Let's hear what Brandon has to say about that. Brandon?
Yeah, so the line wasn't clear, but I think I kind of got the gist of it. So there was, correct me if I'm wrong here from what I could hear. There were two wills in place.
Gavin's still here. So
Sorry, Gavin. There are two wills in place. Which one was the latest will?
Well, apparently the latest one was where the executor has stepped down. He actually was an attorney who was my uncle, who's one of the heirs, ex-fiance's brother.
Okay, so the first step would be that the latest signed will is the one that's valid, if it meets all the criteria that we discussed earlier in terms of validity. In terms of with the executor stepping down or announcing himself, you'll need to get another executor appointed, and they'll have to get a letter of executorship from the master of the courts, and then they'll have to go through the process of winding up the estate and seeing what the actual intentions were with the will. And seeing, there's various steps when obviously going through all. You obviously have to go through paying creditors first and going through the whole process before you even think about dispersing the assets in terms of selling the house or not. We'd have to actually see in the will. You don't have to obviously say it over the phone. You could give me a private call and I could actually run you through it. But we actually have to see what's actually in the will in terms of the intention of the will. If the house was, for instance, to go to you, then it's your and you've got 100% of the property, then it's yours. Up to you. It's got nothing to do with your uncle. If it was supposed to be split
50-50 between the two heirs, my mom and my uncle.
And it's 50-50, huh?
Yes.
Okay, so what would actually have to happen then is you'd have to reach an agreement where your mom would need to buy out your uncle if she wanted 100% of that. You would actually have to go through a mediation type process with the executor to see how you'd actually handle that. But we can actually help you with that offline,
right.
Especially if you need an executor in place.
Please.
The first step would to get an executor.
Yeah, yeah. Gavin, please just hold on for the number where you'll get to be
able to.
Yeah, sure. All right, great stuff. Gavin in Johannesburg. Questions being raised, Brandon. There are people listening to us all the way in Denmark right now. And this person says, if I have a will drafted in Denmark, is it valid in South Africa? And then, of course, who is the person that can help me write or put together a valid will? Can an attorney do it? Are Brandon and the people at Capital Legacy, are they attorneys? What sort of professional can help me put together a valid will is a question that's coming out quite strongly at the moment.
So in terms of the first one with the person in Denmark, I assume that they are from South Africa originally. My suggestion would be that you're allowed to have two wills, one in South Africa and you can have one in Denmark. My suggestion would be if you have assets in South Africa is to definitely actually have a will drawn up for your assets in South Africa. What's quite unique with us as a Capital Legacy is that we've actually got what we call a worldwide will. So if you just draw up one will in South Africa, we can actually cover your assets globally. But a lot of people like to have two wills. They like to have it in, say, for instance, in this case, one in South Africa for the assets here and one for the assets in Denmark. So that would be my suggestion right there, especially if they've got assets here in South Africa. Just makes things a lot easier to wind up those assets when that inevitable happens. With regards to drawing up of the will, it doesn't have to be an attorney. I would always suggest that a professional body draws it up. So whether it's an attorney, a bank, or Capital Legacy ourselves, I mean, we've drawn up over 14,000 wills a month. We've helped over 500,000 clients draw up their wills. Go through a professional body. What's really important, why you should do it, as opposed to a lot of people go online and do like a template, is I always say to people, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And if you go through a professional body, you know, it's one of the most important documents you're actually going to draw up and sign in your life. You know, rather take the time, sit with an expert and get them to explain to you, well, why can't a minor inherit money? Why must I put the money into a testamentary trust? You know, that kind of thing. What do these fees mean?
Yeah.
You know, consultations are longer than an hour.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, you do it, your will gets drawn up. It's a document that you keep. And it's one of the things that I always say you can tick off your bucket list and know, if the inevitable happens, my intentions are quite clear.
I want to take one last call, but I've got to tell you, there's literally hundreds of calls coming through, Brandon. So you're going to have to give us your contact details so that people can get in touch with you offline and have whatever conversation they need to have with you. And I'm sure we haven't covered half of the issues that need to be covered in this particular subject. But Lwandi is in Soweto. Hi, Lwandi.
Evening, Braos.
Yeah, go ahead, Lwandi.
And to our MP as well.
Sure.
Now, thank you for taking my call. Braos, Obani, our MP mentioned something very critical now.
Yeah.
That when they wind up estates, in most instances, some people would take 2-3% of their money to ensure that they wind up the estate or end up selling assets now. However, what I didn't hear from him is that how much do they charge in terms of winding up an estate for the actual person? No. Because now at the end of the day, I've heard horrible stories about that. No. So now that's my, I'm one of their clients in waiting at the end of the day.
Right.
So hence, that's one of my concerns. No.
Lwandi, thanks very much. Critical question. Brandon?
Can you just repeat the question there?
The cost yeah, more specifically for the winding up of an estate. What is the cost that you would perhaps charge as Capital Legacy?
Okay, so I'm going to go through two scenarios, and I hope the listeners don't take this as plugging my company. But
plug away,
I like to use it as informative sessions, so sure, not marketing
sure
sessions. But
sure.
But anyway, so so an executive is allowed to charge anywhere up to 3.5% of the gross value of the estate. Okay, so for instance, if you've got an estate worth $1 million, they are allowed to charge 3.5% as a fee. Okay, so you know, off the bat, that's what, 35,000 rand to wind up the estate, and that's excluding VAT. So 3.5% plus VAT is what, by law, an executive is allowed to charge.
Yeah.
And that's what I said earlier. That's what people often, with large estates, can you imagine a 10 million estate at 3.5%? You know, you're looking at, 350,000 rand just to wind up the estate.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not too many people who have that liquid on them as a beneficiary to actually pay for that. And that's where you hear the horror stories where people have to sell assets or downgrade or sell cars or things like that. So when you're doing financial planning, you've obviously got to take into account when you speak to your financial planner that when you pass away, you actually have to put something aside for their executive fees. So that's one instance. But my one plug that I am going to throw on the show is that at Capital Legacy, we've got a unique product that if you take it out when you draft your will, remember the wills at Capital Legacy are always free and complimentary, whether you take a product or not. But if you do take the product, I mean, it's on average, our average premium is 180 Rand a month. All your fees, when we wind up the estate on the executor, as the executor fees are taken care of, and the family and beneficiaries wow. don't have to pay in at all.
Brandon, listen, we've run out of time. We've run out of time. I think you're going to be getting a lot of calls, maybe including mine. Listen, what is your direct line or your line, your contact details, if anybody really wants to have this conversation?
Okay, so if you actually want to chat to someone with regard to getting someone to come and get your will or get your will drafted, and you don't have a financial planner, you can call us or contact us on our website, capitallegacy.co.za. On the front page, you'll see a tab that says contact us. Within 24 hours, we'll get someone to contact you and set up an appointment. We've got over 200 consultants in every province of the country who will come out to you at your convenience, home, office, after hours, and they'll sit with you and your family and get the will drafted. So that's if you want to get your will done. If you've got any questions, I'm more than happy to for people to email me. And between myself and the team, we can help anyone with any of those questions. It's Brandon, Brandon, at capitallegacy.co.za.
Brandon, it's been a pleasure talking to you and much appreciated. Brandon is MD at Capital Legacy.